1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. I'd like to look at verses 45 to 49. Let's ask our Lord's blessing. Our Father, how wonderful it is for us to be in your presence. Lord, you said we're two or three have been gathered together, and Lord, we're convinced that you do the gathering. And we pray this evening, knowing that we're in your presence, may what is said be honoring to you, be a comfort to your people. For Christ's sake we ask, amen. The Apostle Paul has been dealing with the resurrection. Now he started by dealing with the certainty of it. Some had said there's no resurrection. And then Paul dealt with, if there's no resurrection, then we're, of all men, we're hopelessly lost. If Christ is not raised, then we're not going to be raised either. And then he dealt with the nature of the resurrected body. A body that's going to come out of the ground, united with the soul that has gone to be with the Lord. Because once this body dies, to be absent from this body, the scripture says we're present with the Lord. So there is no time that a believer will not be with the Lord. And his soul is going to be with the Lord. But in the second coming, the Lord will bring all of his saints. He'll come with all of the holy angels and all of his saints. And the spirit of all of his people, the spirits of his people, are going to be united once again with their bodies. And their bodies are going to be raised out of the ground, changed, incorruptible. The scripture says glorious, powerful. A spiritual body. As I said last time, not a spirit without a body. It's going to be a body. It's going to be flesh, but it's going to be changed flesh. Now I want to deal for a few minutes tonight on the difference between the first Adam and the second Adam. And one of those two, the first Adam or the second Adam, was the one that's going to accomplish the merit. Now you already know that answer. The merit of the resurrection. Paul set forth the certainty of the resurrection, the nature of the resurrected body, and now, what is the basis of it? What's the foundation of it? What's the merit of that resurrection? He says in verse 45, "And so it is written." Now what he's about to say is grounded on God's word. Aren't we glad that whatever we're going to talk about tonight, we can look in the word of God and we can read it and know for a certainty, "Thus saith the Lord, and so it is written." The first man, Adam, he who is the federal head of mankind in manifested time, the first Adam, manifested in time to this world, the first Adam, the first Adam, he was made or became a living soul. Now, I want you to turn to Genesis 2:7. Now let's just look. We're going to stay in Genesis for just a few minutes. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. This is what the scripture says. So it's written. First man was made a living soul. Well, where was that written? Well, right here. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And here's what the scripture says. "And the Lord God formed man like a potter would form a pot." Scripture says the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And here, the Holy Spirit reveals that created man is a compound being. He's got a body, and he's got a soul. His body, the scripture says, was formed. It was molded, made out of the dust. And God took the dust of the earth, took the clay of this earth, and formed a man, made a man. And then the scripture says, the life of that man came when God breathed into him the breath of life. And the scripture says in verse 7, and man became a living soul. What does that mean? It means a body that is alive but lives and breathes in an environment in which God made it to be adapted to this earth. He's a living soul. There's a body and a soul. He possesses a body which derived its origin from the hand of God out of the earth, created from that which is perishable. He was susceptible to perish, because you know he did. So he was susceptible to perish. It was a body made that was susceptible to perish, even though it was created to be immortal. That body was, and would have been so had Adam not sinned. But now, because of sin, his body is now corrupted. It's ruined. It's dying. And they that you eat, you're going to die. So he possesses a body that was made out of the earth, and God breathed a soul into him. He breathed life into him. I mean, there's something in man that is got a, it's that animal spirit. It's got a life. A dog's got it. It's life. It's something that's in him that has life. And there's a nature. There's another thing in him. It's an old nature. An animal doesn't have that. Men got it. Men's got it. But man was made out of dirt and a living soul. So God made him a body, breathed life into him, and that man needed air and food to be sustained. He had to eat. When God made him, he had to eat. That was the way that God had made him. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. I tell you what he said. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. So man was made a body and a living soul. A spirit was breathed into him, and he was alive. He could move, but he had to eat. And God made a garden. He created a place. So it's written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Out of the dirt, breathed life, gave him the ability not only to live by eating, but he gave him the ability to procreate the animal life of his species. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. This is how man was made. God took dust, made him, breathed into him, made him where he had to eat. And also made him where he could reproduce. Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every living, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So man was created by God, had to eat, and he could reproduce, and he was He was made in the image of God. Now, there's a whole message on that point right there, made in the image of God. But this is what I'm going to say for the sake of time right now. God making man, I'm going to read what I've written down here. God making man in his image sets forth that man, God's highest order of creation, was the one most blessed in his place on earth. He had dominion over the rest of the creatures. He possessed a living soul, spiritual, an invisible and immortal soul, and he was created with the ability of reasoning and understanding. There was something about man that was created in the image of God. He wasn't elevated to God's position. I'm not saying that. But there was something about man he was created to have dominion over the earth. He was to watch over and protect. It was his calling. God made him like that. But man, though given the ability to procreate, to have dominion over the animals, there was one thing about man that he did not have. He did not have total freedom. God set some bounds on him. This is the way he was made. Dust, spirit, procreate. He has to eat. He's got dominion over. He watch over. It's his responsibility. That was it. But the scripture says in Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight, good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Look at 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it, to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. There was a tree. Man's got dominion over the animals. He's to keep the garden, dress it, procreate. He has understanding. He's the highest order of God's creation. But there was a tree. One tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God set some bounds upon that tree, and God forbid man to eat of that fruit. That tree was the tree declaring God's singleness. That's my tree. That's my tree. I'm God. The Lord said in Isaiah 45:5, I am the Lord. And there is none else. There's no God beside me. You can eat of every tree in this garden. You have dominion over all the creation, all the animals, everything. You dress it, you watch it. This is your responsibility. The first man created by God, made in the image of God. Man was placed in a garden. He was created to obey and to worship God. This is what I'm saying. Worship. The heart of worship is obedience. Obedience. You want to say, what is it to worship God? Obey. Now, I know that from the first time the word worship was ever used. You know that. I've told you this before. First time the word worship in the scriptures is used is when Abraham was told by the Lord, I want you to take your son, your only son, offer him unto me for a burnt offering. So Abraham took his son and went and found the place, went up, told the men that was with him, said, you stay here with the ass. The lad and I are going to go up and worship. We're going to worship God. And he was going to sacrifice Isaac. Worship, the heart of worship is obedience. Man was created to worship God, to obey God. You're my creation. You have dominion. but don't you touch this tree. Don't you eat of this tree. That's what he told him. But something changed man's standing before God. Satan came into the garden and beguiled Eve. Told her that eating of the tree would not result in death. That eating of the tree would result in her and Adam having the knowledge of God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They ate of the fruit that was forbidden by God, and their eyes, their minds, were now open to see that now they're deceived. They knew that they had disobeyed God and had incurred his displeasure and had destroyed themselves. And they knew now that they were naked before God spiritually. And they had now died. They died spiritually, and they attempted to fix that which they had destroyed, their innocence before God. And they did that which every dead, depraved, blind, disobedient sinner has done since then. Tried to appease God, tried to appease his own conscience by attempting to supply his own covering before God, a covering of his own making. This is the declaration of the gospel. How should man be just with God? Justification before God. That's what the gospel declares. And this is what happens when man disobeyed God. He died spiritually and now tried to reconcile himself, cover himself before God, justify himself before God, and took some fig leaves. You know what's amazing to me? You know where he got the fig leaves? In the garden. In the garden that God had created. Tried to take something of God's creation and put his hand on it and make it look like it was something that he could take of God's provision and he could take and cover himself. That's the heart of man and his free will. Free will, false religion. Didn't go outside the garden. He took what was in the garden. Tried to make it look spiritual and tried to cover himself. But God knew. God knew Adam's guilt, and he revealed the cost of his guilt. So all of creation now was cursed by one man's sin. Now, that's the first Adam. If we want to find where is the merit for being raised from the dead, where is the merit of coming out of the ground, changed, immortal, incorruptible, undefiled, holy, blessed in the sight of God? Where is that? In the first Adam? No. That's the first Adam. Made that living soul, had that animal life in him, common to all creatures, breathing, eating, drinking, sleeping. One able to possess that dominion over God's, but he could not keep his first state of innocence before God. And neither has any other sinner that's ever come, one that incurred nothing but ruin, displeasure. And now man in himself has no hope, no merit to be raised from the dead. None. Left to himself. Back in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living spirit. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The last Adam. the Lord Jesus Christ, the uttermost, the final, the end of the law for righteousness. He who is the provider of all that was required of God's people, the obedient one. Adam, what was it? Disobedient. Took it and ate, died. What did Christ do? He came into this world, did always, only those things that pleased the Father. He is the one that came into this world and partook of the same flesh and blood as his people, mankind. And the scriptures, look at this, very interesting. You know, if you look at the italicized words, a lot of times they'll, the writers would add these words. And if they added that word, that meant it was not in the original. That's what it meant. So if your Bible has some italicized words, look at this. This italicized word right here, to me, actually takes away from. It'd be better, just don't read it. Look at verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, a quickening spirit. See what I'm saying? It says was made, but the last Adam, a quickening spirit. A life-giving spirit. The restorer of the dead to life. He who was made flesh took upon himself human flesh and bore in that flesh the responsibility to restore, he said, that which he took not away. Adam took it away. He said, I've come to restore that which I didn't take away. What was that? To answer God's demand for righteousness, obedience. In man's fall, this is what was taken away. In Adam's transgression, this is what man lost. Number one, the joy, the ability, the love to worship God. Now listen, we're sitting here tonight. The most unbelievable thing is happening in the heart of God's people tonight. They hear the word of the Lord. They hear the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know what they are in Adam. They agree with everything that's been said right here. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, I know there dwells no good thing. Oh, but tell me about that second Adam. Tell me about him. Tell me about the restorer of life. Tell me about the quickening spirit. Tell me about him who loved me and gave himself for me. Tell me about him. Here's what you're doing. You're worshiping God. You agree with God. You agree. You're obeying in heart what God has to say. He took that which man could not do, made it his own, made it his responsibility, came into this world, and restored back. Man's worship was lost. What did Adam and Eve do? They hid. They hid. They separated. You know, when a man separates himself, you know, because of something wrong. You know, that worship was taken away by sin. What else did he lose? Safety. Safety. Peace. Peace. He was scared. He was scared now. Why? I'm naked. I don't have a covering. He was naked before, but he was innocent. But now he's guilty. Joy, no joy, and no comfort, all stripped away. God's presence. Go back and we looked at Song of Solomon. Almost 16 years ago, went through the book of Song of Solomon. You remember what the Shulamite would say, you know, have you seen him whom my soul loveth? Have you seen him? If you tell him I'm sick of love, tell him my heart breaks for him. What did he lose? He lost the presence of God. Oh, but by his finished work, he came into this world, and by his finished work at Calvary, he restored worship toward God by his sheep in regenerating power, gave them a new heart, gave them a love for the Lord, gave them a heart for him to hear his voice by a new ear, new mouth. He restored peace. peace by his blood, and peace in their conscience, in their heart. You know, I know whom I have believed. That's what Paul said. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I believe him. I believe that he's not left it up to me to save myself. I believe that I'm a loser in me. That's what I believe. I believe he's the winner. He's the master. He's the Lord. I love it. I told you when I'd go down to Mexico and you could hear these Mexicans. I could hear them pray. I couldn't hardly understand anything they said, but I knew when they were praying, when they said Lord, here's what they said. They said Señor, Señor. And to them that means sir, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Respect, respect. That's what he restored the joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He restored righteousness. Righteousness that they had nothing but filthy rags is righteousness. Dead. Now God's pleased with them. Receives them in Christ. First Adam, he was made a living soul. Derived his life from God, lost it by one act of disobedience. But Christ, the second Adam, he was the quickening spirit. He's not the one that received life as Adam received life. No, he is the life. He's the life giver. He gives the life to his people. Adam received it. He gives it. He doesn't derive life from any other. I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, being God. He's omnipotent. But being the Messiah, the scripture says, John 17:2, he was given power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou, the Father, has given him. This is the quickening spirit. The life-giving Spirit himself. He said, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. That is an amazing thing. I mean, you see the deity and you see the humanity of Christ. As God, he wasn't given power. He is power. He is all power. But as the Messiah, as he humbled himself, as a man, the God-man, God gave to that man all power to have dominion over all things. Just like Adam was created in the image of God, having dominion over the creation, all the second Adam, he was given all power to do it. He did it. He says in John 14:19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. So this is the difference. What's the merit of the resurrection? Oh man, he's the merit. He's my merit. I'll tell you what my merit is. It's not my works. It's not my ability. It's not me as I was born in the first Adam. I can tell you this. I lost everything by his transgression and I just followed suit. That's all I did. No, there's no merit in me for the resurrection. All of my merit is in that second Adam right there. The one that was made the quickening spirit. I'm going to take that back. The one that is the quickening spirit. I already said that italicized word not supposed to be there. He is the quickening spirit. God, man, mediator. Obedient, faithful, victorious. God Almighty, in human flesh, the glorious Messiah, who is the life-giving second Adam. When he speaks, and all are going to hear his voice, I can tell you, the dead are going to hear his voice. All mankind going to rise at the second coming. All those that sleep in Christ, they're going to be united with their souls that Almighty God has had. And all of those that have been in hell, they're going to be united too and be cast into the lake of fire. And they're going to live forever under the judgment of God. But oh, to know him, be found in that second Adam, will be forever with the Lord. Now look at, I'm just going to read verses 46 to 49. Howbeit, why was it? Let's see. That was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. He said, how is it that the first that was revealed in time wasn't a spirit, it was a natural first. And afterward, the spiritual. Why was that? He said, I'll tell you in just a second. The first man is of the earth, earthy. Second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heaven. This is what he said in those verses. This is God's way. This was the way. Howbeit, that's what he said in verse 46. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. This is the way God was pleased to do it. He made the first Adam. He that fell, disobeyed, and therefore being fallen in trespasses and sin, imperfect now, shown to be inadequate, not able to sustain himself, not able to keep his estate, not able to obey God, unable to redeem himself, unable to obey, earthy, dust, clay, corruptible. That was what was revealed first, man's inability. But the second Adam, the Lord of glory, wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, by his merit and obedience, he accomplished that which the first couldn't. This was God's way to show us what we couldn't do. And having shown us first what we couldn't do, look at it again, that's what he's saying. This is why God did it. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. God was going to show us our need first. And showing us our need in the first Adam, and what Adam couldn't do. Don't think for one second that Adam slipped up and tripped up God. Then God realized, oh no, man. Now what am I going to do? I might do. Almighty God knew just exactly what the first Adam was going to do. The second Adam came and showed man, this is your only hope. This is the quickening spirit right here. That which is of the earth, that begat, that which is earthy, we bear his image. Look around. We have borne the image of the first birth. As Adam fell and we begat his image, we all came forth from the mother's womb, liars, inadequate, insufficient. But the scripture says in verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That second Adam that gives life to whomsoever he will. Such are they that are heavenly, born from above in the second birth. And finally, in the glorious resurrection, we're going to be raised to newness in life. What's the merit? Is there a resurrection? Yes, there is. Now is Christ raised from the dead. That's what Paul said. Is there a resurrection? What kind of body are we going to have? Well, it's going to be a spiritual body. It's going to be changed. It's going to be sown corruptible, but it's going to come out incorruptible. Well, if it's going to come out, what's the merit? On what basis? What's the foundation of that? It's coming out. What? There's got to be something. Well, I can tell you this, it wasn't the first Adam. It wasn't the first Adam's ability. It was the second Adam's ability. That quickening spirit. May Almighty God bless our hearts through the preaching of the glorious gospel of Christ. His honor and our blessed eternal good. Amen. All right.